Good morning, and peace be with you. I see that Susan is on for the announcements, so I don't see Susan, but I'll fill in unless she's tagged somebody else and they really want to do it. Okay, so moved. Do you have one of these if you want one of these, the portals of prayer? And even better yet, are you reading it? Because it's absolutely fantastic. The way that these authors, there's three per book, and their autobiographies, or their biographies rather, are in the front. They're probably autobiography of who they are and what they, where they come from. And we just started August in the men's study, and it's really good. And there's just one part I want to read to you about the author here. For this month, and he's Reverend Dr. Carl Stumpf, and he's a graduate of Concordia out of Springfield, Illinois. And before he completed his vicarage, he completed a fieldwork study at Carver Convalescent Center, a nursing home primarily for individuals who are mentally challenged. And one day he asked a man named Jim what Jesus meant to him, and Jim replied, and this is the part I really wanted to share with you. Jim replied, "Jesus is my all." And that really keys in today with our sermon today and our music and really our walk. But boy, that just really lined up today for me. And I encourage you to grab one of these, or we have a large print as well. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. And so then, as far as our announcements go, I'll leave it for you to read through here. Some things that are coming up that are worthy of being noted is next Saturday is our council meeting. All are invited to come, and we're grateful for our council members that are faithful and help us guide this church along the path of God's perfect will. And so thank you to our council members. As always, Bible studies are ongoing during the week on Tuesdays and on Saturdays. Love to see you. We'll save a chair for you. And also praise reports. These are things that are important for us to do, that our praises, may our praises be a longer list than our petitions. But God can handle it. God invited us in the Lord's Prayer to come to Him boldly and ask for what we need. But please consider putting in a praise report, which would go into the bulletin. You can get a hold of Ashley during the week, and she'd be happy to put it in there for you. So again, we're blessed and thankful to have Diane with us today. And thank you for coming again, Diane. And our opening hymn is one that you've sung before. It is "He Leadeth Me." It's hymn number 501.
Thank you.
Would you please stand if you're able? We come together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take a moment of silent reflection. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. And as you're called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, grant us wisdom to recognize the treasures that you have stored for us in heaven, that we may never despair but always rejoice and be thankful for the riches of your grace through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, beginning in chapter 1, verse 2, and continuing to verses 12 through 14, and chapter 2, verses 18 through 26. This can be found on page 1034 in the Pew Bible. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2, 12 through 14. Chapter 2, verses 18 through 26. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavenly burden God has laid on mankind. I've seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish. Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom and knowledge and skill, and then they must leave all that they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God, for without him, who can find eat or enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. We'll read Psalm 100 responsively, and it is printed on page 6 in the bulletin today. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gate with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks and praise his name.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
The next reading is taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. And this can be found on page 1834 in the Pew Bible. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 11. Since then, you have been raised with Christ.
Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all of these other things: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of the Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke from the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, and can be found on page 1617 in your pew Bible. Luke records, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' Jesus replied, 'Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?' And he said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.' And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' And he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, "You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." You may be seated. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. It's nice to be back after our sojourn to Utah and to have an opportunity to listen to our little chatty Kathy in Utah. And I'm grateful to have had the opportunity with Trace and David and myself to spend time with the kids. And it is nice to be back. Very nice. Today, as we discuss this, I'm going to reference Martin Luther in his Small Catechism and point you to how it reads one part of it. We have Martin's small catechism, and then it has with explanation in it, and it's really helpful. You've been through it, more than likely, through your confirmation classes. One part reads this: "You shall have no other gods." And then beautifully, the answer, or the questions and answers says, well, what does this mean? It means we should fear, we should love, and we should trust in God above all things. When we think about the word idolatry, or idolatry in general, we often think of worshiping statues, or totem poles, or magic talismans, or things like that. And the Bible has plenty of examples of people who worshiped these sorts of things, and the Bible condemns them all. These are all examples of something called coarse idolatry. That is, the worship of creatures as inanimate objects, such as golden calves, statues of Baal, and so forth. Most people in our modern Western culture, even unbelievers, would say that coarse idolatry, worshiping statues and the such, well, it's foolish and it's irrational. The kind of idolatry that is more likely to attract you and to attract me is called refined idolatry. The worship of money is refined idolatry. The worship of popularity, of power, of fame, of security. For instance, when we put our job, our family, or our recreation above God, we are committing refined idolatry. When we allow the TV to become, well, to come between us and our Bible reading time, we are committing refined idolatry. When we forsake prayer and worship to pursue some other activity, no matter how worthwhile it may be, we are committing refined idolatry. We may not be bringing out bulls to sacrifice to a false god, but we are making the same deadly mistake, and that is that we are worshiping idols. At its core, refined idolatry worships creation instead of the Creator. It takes the good gifts that God gives us and it makes them into little g gods in His place. Refined idolatry is most powerful. Listen to this. It is the most powerful when it convinces us that this world is all that there is. And since this world is all that there is, it forces us to place our trust in the things of this world and to get the most out of it while we are here. Refined idolatry provides us with all kinds of mottos. We heard one of them in the scripture this morning. Here's some others. Enjoy it while you can. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You only go around once in life, so grab with all the gusto you got. Perhaps the saddest of mottos that I've ever heard, perhaps you've heard this, is whoever dies with the most toys wins. I would add to that, he still dies. And I would add to that, and somebody's going to be using those toys of yours, and you're probably not going to be like the way that they took care of it. Refined idolatry is tricky. Most of the time, people who commit refined idolatry don't think they're committing any kind of idolatry at all. Most people who worship popularity and fame would never say that they worship these things. And despite that claim, what else, you'd have to be asked, what else can it be when these things are more important than receiving God's gift in word and in sacrament? We often don't realize that we're even committing refined idolatry. In fact, maybe this is offending some of you out there right now that are hearing it live or hearing it online. We often forget that whatever has the top priority in our lives is, in fact, our God. As Martin Luther often said, he said, "It is the trust and faith of the heart alone that make both God and an idol." If your faith and trust are right, then your God is the true one. Conversely, where your trust is false and wrong, there you do not have the true God. For these two belong together, faith and God. Anything on which your heart relies and depends, I say, that is really your God. Now, the prayer of the day, for this day, it invites us to set aside refined idolatry and fix our minds on things of heaven instead. The hymn of the day begins with the words, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word." Every stanza that you will sing, every stanza points to him and him alone, being our all in all. The one, he is the one who provides for our every need. In the sequence, acclamation that you sing with me prior to reading the gospel, it recalls the words of Peter from John 6. "You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia." The Old Testament, the lesson that Ron read, tells us of the emptiness of a refined idol. It says, "All is vanity and a striving after the wind." Striving after the wind. Wow. Poetic, beautiful imagery there. The epistle tells us to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. And finally, the gospel relates the story of a rich fool who placed his confidence in the bumper crop that he was going to store in his barns instead of the God who gave him those crops. Perhaps the most common form of refined idolatry is the worship of money. Jesus often taught about wealth and the destruction that it can bring when it is mishandled. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 20, he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures that are on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Now, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write his letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy verses 6 through 10. Paul writes, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. The parable of the rich fool is most severe because not only does the poor fellow never get to enjoy his earthly wealth, we heard, you fool, tonight, but he endured eternal punishment as well. Fool, we read, this night your soul is required of you. He didn't get to play with his toys, and he's going to be in eternal torment. Now, the problem is not this. Please listen. The problem is not that the man was rich. The problem was that the man was a rich fool. Jesus had many disciples who were wealthy. We read the Magi from the East who came to worship Jesus. The toddler had the means to offer Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We read and know that Joseph of Arimathea, who loaned his tomb to Jesus, had the means to construct a tomb for himself in the honored real estate near Jerusalem. A pretty nice piece of property that he built that tomb on. We read that Lydia, one of the early disciples in Philippi, and Mary, the mother of Mark, the gospel writer, were wealthy patrons of the church. Wealth isn't the problem. The problem is letting wealth become a substitute for God. It is making wealth the source of your security, or when I make wealth the source of my security and comfort. It is forgetting that wealth, like everything else, is a gift from God. The sin here is not in the money. Money's not evil. But the sin is in the attitude towards money. Jesus speaks this parable to all of us, even if we're not wealthy. Jesus said, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Jesus warns us that whether we are on welfare or we're middle income or upper class, that the love of money can destroy us and our souls. This means that poor alike can be fools about money. The rich can be slaves to the money and other things that they have. The poor, they can be slaves to the money and other things that they want. People in all classes can see money and things as the salvation from their problems. Our Old Testament reading for today comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. Most of Ecclesiastes is dedicated to describing the emptiness of life. That is when he says, under the sun. That is a life lived as if this earth was all that there was. And in this book, Solomon carefully documents his experiments with every lifestyle possible. He did it. He tried wine. He tried women. He tried song. He tried hard work. He tried hard play. He tried travel. He tried education. If you can think of a lifestyle, he tried it. And in the end, he concluded that if this life is all that there is, then everything is vanity and striving after the wind. careful point, without God, there is no meaning to life. With God, there is meaning. There is worth. There is salvation. But the treasure of heaven is not like the treasure on this earth. God revealed himself to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus has his own economy. Although he is the creator and the owner of all things, he lived among us as a poor person. Although he has all authority in heaven and earth, he lived under the authority of the law. Although he has all power, he made himself helpless, and he submitted to the punishment that we deserved as he suffered, as he died on the cross. And although forgiveness and life and salvation are worth more than we could ever pay, Jesus offers them to us as a free gift. Although Jesus deserves our unending service, it is his desire to serve us. It is Jesus who makes us rich toward God. Jesus closed the sad parable in today's gospel with these words, "So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Here first of all is condemnation. It says that if we spend our lives getting ahead so that God and religion become a nuisance, the end is eternal damnation. But the reverse of these words is also true, and it gives us a very sweet hope. When the Holy Spirit plants the gift of faith in us, we will see that the treasures of this earth are nothing and that God is the true treasure, in that we will inherit everything God has to offer. We will hear the blessed words of Jesus in Matthew 25, verse 34. You've heard this. "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you.
you please stand if you're able? Let us all confess our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 3 of your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. And on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people in accordance to their needs. God, our Creator and Redeemer, you wonderfully created our human nature and yet more wondrously restored it. By the power of your Holy Spirit, set our minds on things above where Christ is seated and renew us more and more in your image. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, guard your church, the people of your own possession, and give to her honorable and noble men for the office of holy ministry. Likewise, grant gracious and devoted men and women commissioned for teaching and works of charity within our church. Make us rich in the treasure of your grace that will never disappoint us, that we may give generously towards those in need. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, you promise to provide for all our needs of body and soul. Defend our hearts from focusing on worldly wealth and our families from the strife that flows from the love of money. Lead us to trust your fatherly care in all things. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God, protect us and our neighbors from those who seek to do us harm. Restrain those who senselessly commit acts of violence against others. Keep in peace and safety those who live and work in places of danger. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Lord God, be near to the suffering, the dying, and the grieving, especially your servants who we name out loud or remain in our hearts right now. Paula. Sustain them in the truth that their lives are even now hidden with Christ in God, and that when he appears, they will also appear with him in glory. Give them compassionate and skillful doctors and nurses, that their suffering may be alleviated and their minds and bodies returned to health. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you consecrate the gifts your people bring and offer for us the very body and blood of Christ for our salvation. Give us hearts to treasure this everlasting gift and so protect us from the love of fleeting riches. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God, give holy wisdom to your dear children that they may see through the illusions of this world, and being tempted by no temporary pleasures, arrive at the salvation promised to those who trust in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, because we do not know what we need, or how to ask. Lead us by your Spirit to trust in your wisdom and to have confidence in your grace for this life and even forevermore. It is into your hands, O Lord, that we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your promises through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's children said, Amen. Will you please pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave. And by his glorious resurrection, he opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts in heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. He broke it, giving it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now pray together the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The word in the sacrament is efficacious. It has and does what Jesus said it would do. It rescues you from sin, death, and the devil. Now, it is for all who would believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all who confess him with their lips as Lord and as Savior, and I heard you. Now, the table is prepared. We have the wafer, and we have wine, and we have the apple juices on the inside circle for all who wish to come forward and partake in the holy sacrament of the altar. The ushers will bring you forward. Now receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sending hymn is hymn number 327, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Rock of ages, cleft for me. From the riverside which flowed, be of sin the double cure.